Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
Song can only mean one thing. That's right, baby. It's another edition of Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. You know how we do it. Sunday. Week number 7 of the holiday docket, and we're going to break it down real thorough and proper for you. And to do that, we're going to welcome in the stars of the show. First up, Rostradamus Ross Mandel. How you doing today?
Doing very good, Rick. Ready for some football, baby.
And, of course, we got the good reverend, fresh from church, Ralph Mancini. Say hello to the people.
Decisions. My favorite part of the week, who to start, who to sit, who to add, who to drop. Always a lot of fun.
Back at it again! Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. We're a little pumped. We're halfway through the fantasy football season, week number 7. Most fantasy football formats, that means there's 7 weeks left to conquer the competition. And you surely came to the right spot to do that. This is Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, exclusively on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Check them out, www.fsc.fm. That's www.fsc.fm. If you're listening in on iTunes, you can go down to blogtalkradio.com, fsc.fm. Get yourself a free user account. Get down in the chat room. Always good to see our party people up in there. Ace is up, Mark Ronick, Ogara, and Taz, and a bunch of guests, and we'll be filling up, taking your questions, and answering them like we always do about this time, every Sunday morning, 8:30 to 10 a.m. You want to dial in, give us a shout, 347-945-6275, 347-945-6275. I am your host, Rick Saratella. As I said, we are joined by Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, and since this is the fastest 90 minutes in fantasy football, we're going to get right into it. If you're new to the show, welcome aboard. We go around the league, dud-dud sleeper style, baby. We break it down, nothing but the best from the top to the bottom. And, of course, we're taking your questions all day long. So let's get right into it, guys, and start it off with a grudge match, and that would be Cedric Benson, 3-2, heading in to Cincinnati where the Bears take on the Bengals, 4-2, surprisingly. And the over-under for the Laura Hawk sighting has been set at 7.5. Laura Hawk, as you might know, infamous for the Brady Quinn-AJ Hawk game a couple years ago. The only thing now is that neither of them really play too much. Let's see. Ross, break it down.
We're talking Packers-Browns here, or are we talking Bengals-Bears, brother?
I'm sorry, sir. We're talking Packers at Browns. I got 2 cheat sheets I'm looking at.
That's what I'm saying. I thought maybe Brady Quinn got traded, but
I went from the Bears to the Bengals to the Packers to the Browns. I apologize. Green Bay, Laura Hawk, over under 7.5. Amon Green sighting in Green Bay this week, heading into Cleveland. So break that one down for us, Ross.
You got it, brother. Look, there's one stat that stands out in this game, and I don't know that it's going to come into play because Cleveland's pass rush is so anemic, and that's the 25 sacks that Aaron Rodgers has sustained this year. I mean, the offensive line, people thought it was getting better, but Clifton is still hurt. They have offensive line trouble, but that's not going to stop Ryan Grant, who is going to be a stud in this game. Look, Cleveland's run defense was terrible before DeQuell Jackson got hurt. That kills it. Green Bay has to run to take some of that heat off Rodgers and those 25 sacks. So I think for my money today, Rodgers and Donald Driver, not Greg Jennings, Donald Driver are going to be the two that hook up early and often. And I also love, as a stud in this game, the Green Bay defense. How can you not? I mean, honestly, Rick, I think me, you, and the Reverend could suit up against the Browns offense and score some fantasy points. That's how bad their offense is looking. The dud, you know, take your pick. Jamal Lewis, Derek Anderson, not only can't they run, you know, as far as Jamal Lewis is concerned, they're not able to run, but they're going to be down 28-0 probably by the end of the second quarter, so not a lot of running is going to be there anyway. Anderson can't complete a pass to save his life, and the Browns' offense is looking terrible, except for my sleeper in this game, which is Muhammad Massaquoi. look, this is a bye week, and there's an extra pair of teams out, so there's six teams not playing, and Massaquoi is going to get some targets in this game. I guess if Anderson is able to throw the ball anywhere near him, he's going to haul in some passes in garbage time. I'm not that high in him, but then again, I'm not high in anyone on Cleveland. I see Green Bay waltzing in this game 34-10, guys.
Yeah, the Packers 3-2, looking to make it 4-2. The Browns 1-5, and you know, they got hit by the flu bug this week. 12 players missed practice. From what we've been told, that they're okay to go now. We've solved the Brady Quinn mystery. For those of you who've been wondering, you know, why is Eric Mangini so persistent to keep Derek Anderson in these games with a 41.7 quarterback rating? Two touchdowns, six interceptions, completing about 40% of his passes. Not even Brady Quinn played this bad. But if you're curious as to why this is happening, there's an escalator clause in Brady Quinn's contract. 70% of the plays, if he were to participate in 70% of the plays this season, there's an escalator in his salary for 2010, 2011. I think his salary jumps up to about $10, $11 million a year. So word in Cleveland is Mangini is waiting until it's statistically impossible for Brady Quinn to achieve that escalator in a salary. We got to get over to the chat room because the questions are heating up, coming in. Keep them coming. Ralph, let me ask you, JoJo, our friend, needs to make some decisions. Let's start it off with his running back dilemma first. Freddie Jackson or Cadillac this week? Who do you like?
Well, I like Freddie Jackson better as a runner, but this week, Cadillac Williams is the number one man in Tampa Bay. So although I don't like his prospects, I would have to go with Cadillac Williams just because he is getting all the carries in Tampa Bay.
And he's got some receivers. How would you rank these guys for week number seven? Stevie Breston, Sidney Rice, Donnie Avery, Vasanti Shenko, Ralph.
Well, I would rank Sidney Rice first because he is the number one receiver in Minnesota right now. He is the go-to guy. Brett Favre is looking to him early and often. I also like Breston. You know, I think that he is going to get a lot of action this week, especially with Anquan Boldin being a little iffy. Even if Anquan Boldin plays, I still see Breston getting a lot of time this week. And as far as tight ends go, I love Vasanti Shenko. He's been scoring every week lately, and he's a guy that you have to get in your lineup.
Okay, hopefully we helped him out with that question. We got Adam from Baltimore, who gets a half point per reception. He's looking for two running backs, two wide receivers, and a flex play. His selections are LaDainian Pom-Pom Tomlinson, Lawrence Maroney, who has a very favorable matchup this week, Ryan Grant, P.T. Cruiser, who you got me there. Maybe you guys know who that is.
Pierre Thomas.
Vincent Jackson, that's a new one to me. Greg Jennings and Wes Welker. I'll say them one more time. Tomlinson, Maroney, Grant, Pierre Thomas, Vincent Jackson, Greg Jennings, Wes Welker. Ross, talk to me here. What are we doing? Two receivers, two wideouts, flex play. You want to rank them? Let's give our buddy Adam from Baltimore some help here.
All right. I'm not going to say this very often, but I think this is a good week to start LaDainian Tomlinson. I would go with him, and I'd go with Ryan Grant. And as the receivers go, boy, that's a tough – you got three good ones there, a tough one to leave out. But I got to tell you, I'd leave Jennings on the bench. I'd start Vincent Jackson and Wes Welker, and I'd probably use one of the leftover running backs, either Maroney or Thomas. And I lean toward Thomas as the flex play.
I think I agree with you. I'm seeing here he also has Rashard Mendenhall. Does that change it up at all for you?
Wow. Probably not against the Vikings. I mean, he might get some of those goal line carries, but I could see him having like a 14 for 46 and a touchdown day. Mendenhall.
Yeah, against the Vikings, you may not want to risk that. Me personally, I'll go Maroney over Tomlinson. You know, for me personally, I don't even have LaDainian Tomlinson on my team. I would cut him completely.
Hey guys, you wouldn't go with Mendenhall over Pierre Thomas? I mean, Pierre Thomas is going up against a tough run defense in the Miami Dolphins, and on top of that, you have Mike Bell now taking over the goal line carries.
I understand that it's questionable.
Yeah.
it's questionable, yeah. But I like what I've seen from Thomas lately, and I think that Minnesota is going to put the clamps down on Mendenhall, quite frankly, and I don't have the.
But I could see Mendenhall getting a cheap 1 yard touchdown because
yeah.
I definitely think Pittsburgh's going to be able to move the ball.
I agree with you. I mean, I think it's one or the other, and I don't think you're crazy for going with Mendenhall over Thomas.
Okay, and I'll go Maroney over Tomlinson in case you didn't hear him the first time. Let's see. Look at here. Where are we going next? Maroney over LT, absolutely, this week. Watch the games. Watch the games. LaDainian Tomlinson's washed up. Lawrence Maroney's coming off one of his best weeks. Sammy Morris is injured. I'll go Lawrence Maroney over LaDainian Tomlinson all day on that one. Let's look at here. San Francisco, 3-2. Started off hot, 1-2 in their last three games. Taking on the Texans, 3-3, the AFC playoff battle getting a little bit foggy there. Ralph, what do you got for us, stud duds and sleeper style on this one?
Oh, yeah, this is a great matchup here. Two guys stand out as far as studs go, and I'm going to start off with Frank Gore. He's back from injury. He's ready. He's well-rested. He's fresh, ready to go. The offense flows through Frank Gore. San Francisco traditionally sticks with one back for the most part. And the other thing is, you know, I know Houston's been getting a lot better versus the run lately with Pollard and Eugene Wilson at safety. But, you know, there is an injury there to Brian Cushing, a foot injury, which is something to watch. I think just based on the volume of carries that he's going to get, I think Frank Gore should be able to put up 100 yards and a touchdown in this game. I also love Owen Daniels. He's starting to see more red zone looks. He had four thrown his way in that area last week, converted two of those targets into touchdowns. And on top of that, strong safety Michael Lewis suffered a concussion and is now very iffy. Looks like he won't go for the San Francisco 49ers. So that just means that Owen Daniels is going to have a that much of an easier time putting up numbers this week. The dud here, I'm going to have to go with Kevin Walter. You know, this is the type of guy that from 1 week to the next, he could always put up a big game. But when you really need him to perform and you start him, that's when he disappoints you. The bottom line with Kevin Walter is he doesn't command the ball like Andre Johnson or Owen Daniels. He's coming off three straight mediocre games. And now he has to contend with Jacoby Jones, who has recently emerged for the Houston Texans. So I think that if you're going with Kevin Walter, it's a very risky move. And similarly, Josh Morgan is a dud also. You know, even before Michael Crabtree took over as a starter, Morgan was dropping too many passes, generally looked confused. Look, I think the talent is still there with Josh Morgan, but he's going to lose looks. He's going to lose snaps. So to me, he's a risky move, not a high upside guy if you want to put him in your starting lineup this week. And sleeper, I'm going to go with Sean Hill. He's been at his best in the fourth quarter, and he has a chance to work his late-game magic in what should be a tight game this week versus Houston. On top of that, the Texans are ranked 19th versus the pass, and the Texans' secondary hasn't been really generating any big plays while allowing quarterbacks to pass for 253 yards a game. So take Sean Hill as your sleeper. I love the fact that San Francisco's coming off the bye week. I like their defense to step up and make some big plays, force some turnovers. I'm going to go with the Niners here, 28-20.
Ooh-ha, on the road, 49ers, traveling across half the country to defeat the Texans, the Reverend Ralph predicts. I got Frank Gore on my fantasy football team. I'm looking for a big week from him. I'm hoping for good things there. Owen Daniels for the Texans, targeted 47 times, the most in all of NFL amongst tight ends, has 32 catches, making some noise at the tight end position. Ross, there's a good debate going on in the chat room about Ryan Grant. What's your thoughts? Would you play Ryan Grant over Greg Jennings this week?
I'd play him over Greg Jennings 10 times. I mean, out of 10. You got to be kidding. Ryan Grant is going to have a better fantasy day than Greg Jennings today.
Okay, there you have it. Ralph, special teams and defense, do you like Cincinnati or San Diego this week? Cincinnati is facing the Bears. San Diego, I believe, is the Chiefs.
Overall, I like the Cincinnati defense normally, but considering their matchup, you're going to have to go with San Diego. I mean, Kansas City offensively is just not much of a team. They really don't move the ball that much, don't put up a lot of yards. They have a fading Larry Johnson in the backfield. For this week, I'm going to have to go with San Diego.
And then let's not forget, Brandon Albert, the offensive tackle for the Chiefs, is a game-time decision. And the Chiefs have allowed 22 sacks this year, the second most in the league. With that said, I'm going to turn it over to Rostradamus, Ross Mandel, to break down the stud duds and sleepers when the San Diego Chargers 2-3 head into those 1-5 Kansas City Chiefs. Break it down.
You got it, man. I talk about your boy LT a little bit, but let's go Rivers, Vincent Jackson, Antonio Gates is the trio that you want to deal with. Those are the studs against the Chiefs, 25th ranked D. But I'm telling you, man, if Tomlinson can't get it done today, if he can't get it in the end zone today, he's never going to get it in the end zone, guys. I like his matchup today. I think he's definitely worth a start. I think Dwayne Bowe is also worth a start. I am not a believer in San Diego at all. I haven't been from day one, and they were exposed again against the Broncos. How they were favored in that game, I don't know. The dud in this game, sorry guys, the San Diego defense and Sean Merriman are the duds to me. If you've seen Merriman play and you want to blame it on his injury, that's fine. I can blame it on him not taking a certain substance just as quickly. But look, he has looked lost. He can't do anything except, you know, pretend to rush the passer. He looks terrible. The San Diego defense is vulnerable, and I don't think this is a gimme for the Chargers at all today. Look, my sleepers today, I think you could say that Matt Castle or even Larry Johnson could be sleepers, but for me, I like tight end Sean Ryan in this game against San Diego, and we talked about it last week with Tony Scheffler and how San Diego just keeps giving up points to opposing tight ends. Well, if you followed our advice last week, it took Scheffler, you had to win your game because he went off and killed the Chargers last week just like we said he would. Don't expect that much out of Ryan, but I think he's a better play than a lot of tight ends people are going to be using today, including Rev's boy Dustin Keller. Good bye week fill-in. And just for the record, Castle's gotten sacked a lot, but they have 9 touchdown passes and only 2 picks this year for Kansas City. And I like the Chiefs in an upset today, guys, 21-20.
Hey now. I don't know.
Yeah, look, I mean, you can give me all the stats you want about the touchdowns to interceptions ratio. They're not putting up a lot of yards. And the bottom line is Larry Johnson is finished. And if you watched that Monday Night Football game last week, the Chargers did a pretty decent job of shutting down Denver's running game. I mean, you know, no Sean Moreno was only held to about 40 yards rushing last week. So you have to give the Chargers credit for that. And really, you know, Kansas City just does not scare me as an offense. I'm sorry.
I don't disagree with you, Rev, but I think San Diego's defense is not good.
Dude, I got to tell you, right now, you know, Matt Castle's been taking 2-step dancing lessons from Drew Bledsoe. The guy's a statue back there. He's got concrete boots on. Brandon Albert's probably not going to play. I just can't see Castle freeing up any time to get the ball off. Larry Johnson's a complete joke, 2.7 yards a carry. I can't see the Chiefs winning this ballgame.
Right. Well, then you haven't watched the Chargers all year, brother.
Maybe I haven't, but I'll tell you what, I'll take the Chargers to win this one easily. we got a good chat room today. This is the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show each and every week. Check them out, www.fsc.fm. I heard it was a good show every Sunday, 8:30 to 10 a.m., exclusively on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Haven't give the NFL Draft Bible a plug yet, nfldraftbible.com. Content Factory Machine, NFL draft season heating up, less than 6 months away. We'll be here before you know it, but lots of good updates coming up on the NFL Draft Bible. Check out midweek on the NFL Draft Bible. We do our College Football Insiders newsletter PDF. It's a free download. If you like college football, you should definitely get on that. Who else could we plug here? Taz is lurking in the chat room as always. Check out fantasyfootballwiz.com. Who else we got? You know, you want us 10 o'clock, top of the hour, next hour. Tony Cincata, great show. ESPN affiliate, check him out on the Fantasy Sports Channel coming up at 10. Fantasy Sports Channel taking you here to kick off. Classic, but this is the best, the biggest, the baddest, the best show right here. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, breaking it down for the people now. We've got a Boston Red Sox fan doing some bad-mouthing in the chat room. Pretty soon, you know, she'll be banned from the chat, and she can get a nice seat on the couch tonight for the Yankees game. We're going to move over now to the Indianapolis Colts taking on the St. Louis Rams, and to do that, break it down, is going to be Ralph Mancini. Take it away.
Yeah, in the laugher of the week, Indianapolis goes to St. Louis, and, you know, logically, you would have to think, you would have to start all of your key Colt players, including Joseph Addai. You know, his yards per carry is nothing to fawn over, but he is staying healthy this year, and he's getting plenty of touches, particularly in the passing game. So I think he's going to have a good game. I also think Austin Collie is going to have a decent game as well. You know, he is gaining Manning's trust, and the Rams really don't have the personnel to cover the Colts when they go to three or four wide receiver sets. On top of that, Anthony Gonzalez is not ready to return yet, to play yet, so Austin Collie is going to see lots of action, and I think a lot of balls thrown his way. The dud here is going to be Keenan Burton. You know, the new arrival, Brandon Gibson, may actually start seeing some playing time this week for the Rams, so it may not be long before Burton becomes the third receiver for the Rams, and, you know, really, what's the upside here? You know, I know that he's been getting his share of catches the past couple of weeks, but the Rams are not going to score a lot of points. Avery's the number one guy, and then you have the prospect of Brandon Gibson getting some action, Steven Jackson getting all the carries. I don't think there's a lot of upside there for Keenan Burton. I would keep him on the bench. And the sleeper here is Donald Brown. You know, this game has blowout potential, which means that there could be lots of garbage time running for the rookie. And on top of that, the Rams' run defense will be further weakened by the loss of Will Witherspoon, the linebacker who was traded to the Eagles earlier this week. And the Rams allow 150 yards per game on the ground, have already allowed running backs to score 9 times against them. This is just going to be a layup for Indianapolis, 49-10, playing inside a dome.
Wow. Ralph, let me ask you this. A lot of people split on the whole Indianapolis Colts running back by committee there between Joseph Addai, Donald Brown. How do you see this thing playing out, not only today, but for the long haul? You know, people seem to be split. Who has more fantasy value, in your opinion?
Well, you know, look, I look at it this way. Donald Brown is just too good to keep on the bench for the entire season. I think he is going to get more carries as the season goes on. He just went through his bye week. I think that gives him more time to get acclimated to the pro game, to a lot of those blocking schemes that every running back is going to have to absorb. So I see Donald Brown as a guy that is eventually going to emerge in the second half. So I like his chances. Not to say that Joseph Addai is going to just fade into the background, but, you know, I see this as a very productive 1-2 punch. You know, maybe sort of like you know, D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart were toward the end of the season last year for the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, back over to the chat room, Ross. We got a question for you. Frank Gore or Miles Austin this week? Gore coming off the injury, coming off a bye week of an injury, and Miles Austin, who's been hotter than a red hot.
Let's all settle down with Miles Austin, people. He is not anywhere near worth what Frank Gore is today. You start Gore for sure.
Okay, there you have it. I don't disagree. Just getting your thoughts on that Joseph Addai, Donald Brown situation, Ross. Does anybody step up here and take the lead on that, or is that going to be a timeshare, you know?
I think, you know what? They haven't lost. The system is working as it is. You know, I'm just waiting for Addai to get a little banged up, like he usually does. And then if Brown can come in and take over that one as opposed to the 1A spot, I think he'll get it. But you know what? The timeshare is working, and, you know, the Colts aren't playing football to appease the fantasy football gods. So I think it's gonna stay, you know, a dual backfield, and I think the splits are going to be fairly even and the touches are going to be fairly even. But both guys have been decent fantasy producers so far this season. So – you know, while you might be looking for Donald Brown to get 85, you know, 80% of the touches, it's not going to happen. I mean, it's going to be 60-40 either way, I think, the rest of the season, as long as both guys are healthy enough to play.
Ralph, return of the Mac, Jeremy Maclin, probable with a foot injury, or see Ricky Run, Ricky Williams, your boy, both teams implementing a lot of the Wildcat this season, the Dolphins being more successful than the Eagles. But if you had to pick a player between Maclin or Ricky this week, Ralph, who do you like?
Well, I love Maclin as a sleeper this week, but based on, you know, how Ricky has been playing all season so far, I mean, you have to go with Ricky Williams. He's looked rejuvenated out there. He has a lot of burst. And, you know, the fact that he isn't getting a ton of carries, he's splitting time with Ronnie Brown, has only helped him be even more effective. So, and that's really what the Dolphins do. They run the ball. That's the type of offensive line they have. So everything seems to be working in Ricky Williams' favor this year. I want to go with Williams.
Yeah, I think Maclin is like the guy you roll the dice with. Williams is your more safer play. If you got a nice lead, a nice chunky lead in your fantasy football league like I do, you can afford to roll the dice, take a gamble. Maclin has more upside. Ricky Williams is a safer play, in my opinion. Ahmad Bradshaw or Glenn Coffey, that's a no-brainer. Ahmad Bradshaw all day. I see a comment about Frank Gore not being 100%. I'm not so sure about that. He's had about 3 or 4 weeks to rest and is coming off the bye week. From what I've heard, he's just about 100%, and I agree with Taz, Coffey won't see the ball more than 5 times. It's just how they do it in San Francisco. Ross, we need 3 PPR wide receivers, Santonio Holmes, Hakeem Nicks, Steve Smith, Dwayne Bowe, and Lance Moore need 3. Santonio Holmes, Hakeem Nicks, Steve Smith, which one? Dwayne Bowe and Lance Moore. New York Giants, Steve Smith, I'm sorry.
Okay. Holmes and Steve Smith for sure. And who was the one after Bo?
Lance Moore.
I'd probably go Holmes, Steve Smith, and Lance Moore there.
Ralph, any thoughts on that?
I like Hakeem Nicks this week. You know, he's a guy that's been getting better and better each and every week. I think eventually he's going to develop as a New York Giants go-to guy. I like Hakeem Nicks a lot this week.
Over who? Over which one of those guys?
This week I like Santonio Holmes. Normally I would tell you take him over Santonio Holmes. I like Santonio Holmes this week. I don't know. I might take him over Steve Smith, you know? I mean, I know Steve Smith's a good possession guy, but I think Hakeem Nicks has more big play potential.
I don't know. I mean, you know what? Nicks is still hit or miss. He's a rookie wide receiver. Antonio Holmes, that matchup I like a lot. We'll talk about it more, but Antoine Winfield is questionable. That means Benny Sapp and Carl Pema are going to be matched up against the Steelers wide receivers. I like Santonio Holmes all day. Steve Smith, I've been riding him all season long. There's no way I'm going to put him on the bench at this point of the season. He's the guy that's gotten me to first place. I'm going to ride him till he does me dirty. And Dwayne Bowe, I think, is the guy that I like that stands out to me. So, you know, I think the two guys we agree on, I think the third guy, you know, you have a decision to make based on the feedback that we've provided for you. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, we do it here each and every Sunday, 8:30 to 10 on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Check them out, www.fsc.fm. Check out the NFL Draft Bible.com. Trading Kotchery and Ava, good deal, fellas.
If you're getting Holmes.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Braylon Edwards, let's talk about that for a second. How does he impact Kotchery's fantasy value, Ralph?
Well, it's going to have an impact. I mean, Braylon Edwards automatically turns into the number one go-to receiver for the New York Jets. You know, I think Kotchery is still going to get his looks, if anything. I think the presence of Braylon Edwards impacts Dustin Keller more than it does Jericho Kotchery. I think Keller was looked upon as a safety valve before Braylon Edwards came. But as the season has gone on, Keller hasn't received the same amount of looks, the same amount of targets And I think that Braylon Edwards, I think he pushes down Keller's value. But I think Kotchery should be fine as a number two receiver.
I see a comment in the chat room about Mario Manningham. I can tell you firsthand from watching him every week, Eli Manning's confidence is not that great in Mario Manningham right now. The guy has butterfingers. He may have been targeted a lot more than Knicks, but maybe also dropped a lot more than Knicks as well. So Mario Manningham's a guy I would stay away, far away from, because that guy has butterfingers. We're going to get into our next matchup, which is another laugher in the making. Wembley Stadium, Ross, where you were, was it 2 years ago you were at Wembley?
Yeah, it seems like yesterday.
It looks like they're going to have another thriller to watch. The Patriots 4-2 take on the Buccaneers 0-6, looking for their first win. Before we get into this one, Ross, I want to mention a guy that's been on your radar now. You've been warning us, leading us up to this point. Brandon Tate activated yesterday. Why don't you fill in our listeners on Brandon Tate?
Yeah, you know, these injuries and the release of Joey Galloway have made some room. He's finally healthy. He's been injured all season, but I would temper your expectations. I mean, it's going to take him a while before he becomes an NFL-caliber wide receiver, but on the kick return game, this guy is going to be a demon. He is going to drive people nuts returning kicks. I think he's going to be a useful weapon for the Patriots. They're going to figure out some packages to include him in, but I think he still needs a lot of polish as far as being an NFL-caliber wide receiver. Obviously, the Pats are going to go over to England and just stomp on the Buccaneers, as everybody seems to. But look, I think last week people need to relax. It doesn't mean that Tom Brady is going to throw 50 touchdown passes again. It doesn't mean he's going to go throw 5.25 again this week. The Patriots played a Titans team that has just already mailed it in for whatever reason. And I saw a distinct lack of effort from a Jeff Fisher team, which is something I did not think I would ever see. You know, you got to love Brady, Moss, and Welker. And I, you know, as we talked about earlier, I like me some Lawrence Maroney today, guys. You can run all day on Tampa Bay. This is a long trip in a dismal season for Tampa Bay. They have a lax run defense. I like Lawrence Maroney, but to me, the stud here, in addition to the trio that we usually have for New England, is the New England defense. I think they got a little momentum. The Tampa Bay offense is dreadful. You know, Josh Johnson has looked all right, but he's still going to cough it up a bit, and I'm sure Mr. Belichick has some tricks for him and the British crowd today. To me, the dud in this game is Cadillac Williams. Guys, I don't know why he's playing. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I mean, maybe they feel bad for him and are happy that he came back healthy, but Derek Ward is quite simply a better all-around football player than Cadillac Williams is, and he should be playing. He should not be sitting on the bench and getting one carry every game. To me, when you're down 28-3 at the end of the first quarter, it takes Cadillac Williams running right out of the game. So he is a dud today. You know, you might want to call Maroney a sleeper today, but I got a deep sleeper in this game, and that is Sam Aiken, baby. Look, Edelman is out. You got to keep an eye on New England's third receiver. And today, that's going to be Sam Aiken, and there is going to be room for him to catch a couple of passes. If you're in a league, I'm in a league with three receivers, all right? And if you got six teams on a bye and you need a third receiver, I went and picked me up Sam Aiken. And I think that there is going to be room for him to do something. Just signed a new deal. Brady likes him. Belichick likes him. He's going to find the end zone today. That's the deep sleeper. New England, 38. Tampa Bay, 7.
And another sleepless crowd in Wembley Stadium. Sam Aiken digging in the crates, baby. I like
it. Got it, baby.
Ralph, couple quick hitters. Would you play Freddie Jackson over Vasanti Shenko as a flex today?
Yeah, you know, considering the fact that Freddie Jackson is going up against Carolina, who just doesn't defend the run that well, I think Jackson could be a decent play, although Shenko should have a better chance of scoring. I'll go with Jackson slightly over Shenko.
Okay, I'll take Freddie Jackson as well. Ralph, another one. Need two of these guys. The Dallas running back, by committee situation when we get to that game. But he needs two guys, point per reception league, Marion Barber, Tashaud Choice, Bradshaw, Donald Brown. Needs two. Tough one.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Tashaud Choice, number one, first of all. You know, Marion Barber has been injured all year. And really, I mean, I think he's going to get a lot of carries this week, but I also think Choice is going to get a lot of carries. And quite frankly, Choice has looked a lot more explosive this year. So I'm going to go with the guy who's playing better. And as far as the second guy is concerned, I'm going to go with Donald Brown. I like his chances this week. I like the fact that Indianapolis is going to blow out the Rams, and there should be a lot of garbage time there for both Joseph Addai and Donald Brown to just run circles around the Rams this week.
Yeah, you make a good point about Donald Brown. You know, he doesn't really catch too many, so PPR, I'm not sure that he always offers the most value. But like you said, there's going to be a lot of points to go around in that game. I like Choice over Barber. Choice over Bradshaw, that's a tough one. I might lean over Bradshaw, so my two plays there might be Bradshaw and Donald Brown. What's your take, Ross?
I'm taking Barber and Bradshaw.
Okay, there you go. In case you weren't confused enough to begin with, now you got even more confusion. Waiver wire question for week number 8. Getting ahead of ourselves real quick. I'll start it off with you, Ross. Kenny Britt versus Jacksonville or Mark Clayton versus Denver? Who do you like more there?
Oh, man. I'll take Kenny Britt in that one.
I'll agree with you. Are we consensus there?
Kenny Britt versus who?
Mark Clayton, who's going up against Denver. Kenny Britt faces Jacksonville.
I'm going to go with Mark Clayton. I like the fact that he has Joe Flacco throwing him the ball.
Wow.
Okay. Trade question, guys. Would you give up Sims Walker and Kevin Smith in exchange for Jennings and Cadillac Williams? I think we're all in consensus when I say a big fat no.
No, not if Cadillac Williams is part of the mix, no.
No way. Smith's better than Williams, and, you know, look at the numbers. Sims Walker is, you know, pretty much equal to Greg Jennings at this point.
Okay, we're going to talk about Marion Barber and that whole Dallas running back situation coming up. It's only a couple games away on our rundown here. Another Week 8 question, guys. He's got to make a waiver wire pickups today. Justin Fargas, who's been getting some time over there in Oakland, he's facing San Diego next week. Buckhalter in Denver, he's facing the Ravens. Tough matchup. Jamal Lewis against the Bears next week. Beanie Wells at Carolina. I guess he needs one. So let me ask you, Ralph, between Justin Fargas, Buckhalter, Jamal Lewis, Beanie Wells, who do you like there next week?
You know, I don't love any one of these matchups, but if I have to pick one, I'm going to go with the guy who's playing the best right now, and that's Correll Buckhalter. I love the way he's running the ball hard between the tackles. He looked good on Monday Night Football. I'm going to go with him. And by the way, I just wanted to add, if anybody out there is in a bind and you need to pick up somebody, a guy with some upside, a guy you want to invest in, what about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis for the Patriots? You know, everybody's talking about Lawrence Maroney, but Maroney up until now has done nothing but disappoint. So he might have a decent week this week considering the matchup, but look out for Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Who thought you'd ever say that, Rev?
See, I'd have to think that Justin Fargas is a guy right now who's on the rise because McFadden's out. Michael Bush has fumbleitis. Fargas ran well last week. So he's the guy that I think is kind of stands out. Now, it could change tonight when the Giants play the Cardinals. Beanie Wells coming off the bye week. We'll see how he's using that offense. But he has to make a decision today. As of today, I like Justin Fargas. Ross, need one for a flex player, Marion Barber, Lance Moore, or Mario Manningham. Who do you like there?
Marion Barber. I just, you know, when in doubt, go with the touches, and the touches means Marion Barber.
And keeping it to the Dallas running back theme, Ralph, Felix Jones, what's your take, what's your read on this guy for this week? He's going to play, he's back. Is he worth a flex start?
You know, this week I think he's very risky as a flex start. Wade Phillips confirmed that Felix Jones will be active this week, and he actually said he could play quite a bit. I don't buy it. You know, he's still experiencing some pain. in that knee, and he's going to be playing with a knee brace, which could limit his mobility. So I think going with Felix Jones this week is a very risky move.
Absolutely, and to answer the chat room questions, I would take both Cedric Benson and LaDainian Tomlinson over Felix Jones. Not many guys I take LaDainian Tomlinson over, but Felix Jones is one of those players. Cadillac Williams or Freddie Jackson? He's nervous putting in Cadillac and sitting Freddie Jackson, Ralph. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, this is a matchups play, and Freddie Jackson has the better matchup this week versus Carolina. I'm going to go with Freddie Jackson.
Guest 154, if you're just tuning in, Sam Aitken was our deep sleeper for the New England Patriots this week. So, Ross, let me ask you, do you like Sam Aitken or the New England tight ends this week?
Oh, wow. I think it's pretty close. I mean, neither of them is going to light the world on fire, but... You know, Ben Watson's been banged up. I don't know how much he's – you know what? I'm sticking with my man Sam Aitken. At most, Watson's going to have, what, 30, 35 yards and a touchdown. I think Aitken could bust a couple. I have a good feeling about Sam Aitken today. I'm going with him.
Okay, there you have it. Ralph, Thomas Jones versus the Oakland Raiders this week. What's your read on the radar?
Oh, this is a no-brainer. Thomas Jones is going to have a field day versus the Raiders.
My number one back this week.
Yeah.
And we have a Michael Crabtree sighting. You know, what's your take on that one, guys? Do you think Michael Crabtree makes an impact at all?
Well, you know, I think it's a risky move going with Crabtree this early. I mean, he's only practiced for, what, 1 or 2 weeks? You know, how much does he really know? How much of the offense has he really had a chance to absorb? I think, you know, they're going to throw Crabtree out there. He's going to run about 2 or 3 routes. And that's really about it. So, yeah, there's always a chance where he can bust one loose, but I think you're playing with fire if you're going to start Crabtree this week.
Yeah, you know what, Ralph? If he walked in with no practice, he's still the best receiver on that team. But that being said, they're not really an explosive passing offense. I don't like it at all as far as a marriage between Crabtree and that 49ers offense. But I think he's already the best receiver on that team. And look, he knows how to play football, so he's going to get involved. I would just wait a couple of weeks to see if the 49ers actually start to throw the ball. I would not start Crabtree today.
Well, he's actually slated to start this week, and he's going to reportedly see 15 to 25 snaps. But no, I would not play him yet. Put him on the back burner for your fantasy football roster. Ross, pick 3 of these players. PPR league, Donnie Avery, Hakeem Nicks, the New York Giants, Steve Smith, Dwayne Bowe, and Lance Moore, baby.
Smith, Bowe, and Moore. I'm not as high on Hakeem Nicks as other people seem to be.
Yeah, I go with Smith, Bowe, and I'll go Donnie Avery there as my third guy.
My man Moore is healthy now, man. He's getting the touches.
Okay. The Pats never use their number three wide receiver. I got to disagree there. If they have a guy, they do use him. We saw that with Jabbar Gaffney last year.
Come on, man. They use their number three receiver a lot. I mean, it's not an Indianapolis Colts situation, but, you know, let's be honest. Gaffney had some that's a crazy statement.
Okay. Would you trade Randy Moss and Rashard Mendenhall for Greg Jennings and Michael Turner?
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
No way. Do not make that trade.
Okay.
Punch out.
Ralph.
Punch out, Mav.
Ralph, would you start Pierre Thomas and Mike Bell together?
You know, I never like doing that, starting two running backs from the same team, unless it's a really, really good matchup. No, I would not do it this week, not versus the Miami Dolphins.
They have Matt Forte, so, yeah, I would say, you know, start Pierre Thomas, bench Mike Bell, and start Matt Forte. What are you thinking there?
Well, wait a second. If it's a touchdowns league, though, he might want to go with Mike Bell, you know? So, you know, if it's a PPR league, you go with Pierre Thomas. You know, it depends. If it's a performance league, you go with Pierre Thomas. But if it were a situation where, you know, he had both Adai and Donald Brown versus the Rams, yeah, I would start both those guys. But I wouldn't start the two Saints versus the Miami Dolphins this week.
I'd start Stewart and Williams, too, from Carolina.
Yeah, yep. Good point.
Okay, Ross, digging in the crate, Sam Aiken or Andre Caldwell this week? Deep league here.
I'm not that high on Andre Caldwell, but he's probably going to have a more productive week than Sam Aiken. You finally got someone for me to get off Aiken.
Ralph, PPR league, Ryan Fitzpatrick getting the start today. Who do you play, Terrell Owens or Lee Evans in a PPR league?
Wow. God, I mean, I wouldn't play either one of those guys if I had to choose. You know, I guess I'd go with Terrell Owens just because he is the bigger, stronger receiver, so he's better on those short routes, those slant routes, you know, and really, Ryan Fitzpatrick really limits the offense. He doesn't have the arm to go deep, so I think Terrell Owens might have a better chance to put up some numbers versus Lee Evans, who's just a small deep threat.
Guest 154, how many catches did Jabbar Gaffney have last year? Here's a better question. How many catches does he have this year? Last year, he was actually a player, earned himself a new contract, got recognized, got noticed. Jabbar Gaffney was a huge player for the Patriots last year. Dustin Keller versus the Raiders, Ralph, what's your read on that one?
It's not a great play. You know, this week you have tight ends with much better matchups. It's not an awful matchup, but if you have somebody better out there, if you have a Greg Olsen, if you have a Brent Celek, I would go with either one of those two guys. It's not a great matchup, but it's not an awful matchup either. I just don't want to expect a lot out of Keller this week.
I'm not sure if I would go ahead and drop Mueldy Moore just yet for Sam Aiken. Sam Aiken getting a lot of play. Where's Clay at? Owens, Cooley, Miller, Vernon Davis, and the other Miller. God.
Zach and Heath.
Yeah. You guys have any thoughts there? Who you like the most? I like Vernon Davis there.
You know, I like Heath Miller.
I like Heath Miller. Well, actually, no. I like Owen. D. Owens. Does he mean Owen Daniels?
I thought he meant Terrell Owens.
Oh, he meant Terrell Owens? Okay. I would go with Miller as well.
All right, guys, we got to get back to some of our games here, back on the rundown. Let's get into the game of the week. That would be your 6-0 Minnesota Vikings traveling to Blitzburg to take on the Steelers, who are 4-2. We mentioned it before, Antoine Winfield questionable, which means Benny Sapp and Carl Pema would get some playing time against those Steelers wide receivers. Why don't you take it away, Ralph?
Yeah, huge matchup, and I love Ben Roethlisberger in this game. He's my stud. Another huge game should be on tap for Big Ben versus a Vikings secondary that will most likely be without its best defensive back, Antoine Winfield. The Steelers will come out and spread the field from the outset with 3 and 4 wide receiver sets. Roethlisberger is a hard man to bring down. He shouldn't really be affected by the Viking pass rush. Minnesota has allowed opposing quarterbacks to torch them for about 315 yards per game over the past month. I think Roethlisberger rolls in this one. He's my number one stud. The dud here is going to be Percy Harvin. Only had 2 catches last week, and he's been limited in practice due to injury. So, and the other thing you need to keep in mind, and I mentioned this before, Sidney Rice has suddenly become Favre's favorite receiver. So I think that Percy Harvin is a guy with huge upside, but he's a little injured, a little banged up, and I don't think this week, I don't think he's going to be a featured guy. He's a risky move this week. The sleeper here is one of my favorite rookies, Mr. 60 Minutes himself, Mike Wallace.
There he is.
He doesn't get lots of targets, but he's been averaging 50 yards a game over the last 3 weeks. The Vikings don't have the defensive backs that can stay with the speedster when Pittsburgh spreads the field. If Wallace draws Benny Sapp in coverage, look out. Pittsburgh wins this one 34-23 in a high-scoring affair.
Wow. You think they're going to win by a couple of scores, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting, interesting.
It'll be hard to stop.
Yeah, I like Pittsburgh to give Minnesota their first loss this week. I really do. And you know, I'm not quite sure what the money line is on that one, but Vegas beware. I would take Pittsburgh there. Quick hitter before we get into our next game, guys. Justin Fargas or Clinton Portis, I actually happen to have both of these guys on my roster, and I'm going with Clinton Portis this week, banged up and all. He did practice on Friday, is going to start Monday night. I think that's the Monday night game. But what's your guys' take on Justin Fargas and Clinton Portis?
I think this is a little closer than people might initially think when you hear the names. And I'm not completely buying into that Philadelphia defense. I think I'd go with Portis, but you ask me again tomorrow, I might change my mind. But right now, I'll go with Portis.
Yeah. I don't like either one, but I'm going to have to go with Portis.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, I'm not going to be that guy that benches Clinton Portis this week and then, you know, get stuck watching him rush, you know, run crazy on Monday Night Football for 100 yards, two touchdowns. I'm going to take, you know, Miami, the U on Monday Night Football, Clinton Portis, showtime, baby, go time. And that's why we are Fantasy Football Insiders radio show each and every Monday. I'm sorry, Sunday morning. 8:30 to 10, Fantasy Sports Channel, FSC.FM. If you're listening in on iTunes, go to FSC.FM or blogtalkradio.com. Get yourself a free user account. Then you can get down in the chat room just like all these other party people are doing. You want to dial into the show, 347-945-6275. I'll try to get you in, 347-945-6275. Joined by Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, I am Rick Saratella. Check us out at NFLDraftBible.com if you want some more of this stuff. Woo! Guys, Buffalo at Carolina. Let's talk about this one. Sean Nelson is out. Derek, ooh, you're so fine, is in. I'm going to let Ross Stradamus take this one away.
Amazing that the Carolina Panthers are going to be 3-3 after this week. I can't recall a more dismal 500 team after 7 weeks of the season, but it looks like that's what's going to happen as far as I'm concerned. You're going to see an awful lot of running in this football game after what Thomas Jones did, and I still can't believe the Jets lost when they ran for like 9,000 yards against the Bills, but D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart are both worth starts in this game, folks, and I said before, if you have them both, you could do a lot worse than putting them both in your starting lineup. Buffalo's given up .182 on the ground per game, and we all know Jake Delhomme is the quarterback for Carolina. The less he does, the better chance they have of winning, him throwing picks. I also kind of like Marshawn Lynch in this game. I think the Bills really don't have much other offense, and I think it's time for Lynch to get, you know, the governor taken off of him. I think he's going to run the ball often in this game, and, you know, he might not run for 4.5 yards a carry, but I think he finds the end zone in this one. To me, you got a lot of receivers here who are duds. I can't recommend Carolina's Steve Smith. I can't recommend T.O., and I can't recommend Lee Evans. This is a rushing football game. This game might be over by 1:30. That's how fast the clock is going to move in this game. You know what? Smith, T.O., Lee Evans, I would take Steve Breston over any of those guys this week. The sleeper in this game, I got a hunch here. I like the Carolina defense in this game. I think Buffalo's offense is terrible, especially with Fitzpatrick back there. I think somewhere right now, Turk Schonert is laughing his rear end off, fellas.
Okay. Well, you mentioned the rushing attack. I want to mention a lineup change for Carolina. Definitely worth noting if you have Marshawn Lynch or Freddie Jackson. 2 weeks ago, the Panthers benched Nick Hayden, their defensive tackle starter. They just deactivated him. And in his place, they've put Hollis Thomas.
Hollis, who
outweighs Hayden by 50 pounds. Hollis Thomas, if you're not familiar, weighs about 350 pounds. And John Beeson of the Panthers says this has been huge the last couple weeks, especially against the run, and Thomas clogging holes and taking up blocks. So just something to be aware of and keep in mind with the Carolina Panthers defense. Going back over to the chat room, Ross, you mentioned Steve Breston. Who do you like between Breston, Miles Austin, and there's another, Greg Jennings this week?
Breston, Austin, Greg Jennings. Wow. I think I have to go with Jennings. I'd have to go with Jennings, but I would take that's a really good question. Those three are very close. I'd go with Jennings.
Interesting. Ralph, can't stop, won't stop. Justin Fargus, Derek Ward, or Bernard Berrien? Who do you like there?
I'm going to go with Bernard Berrien. I think he has the biggest upside. You know, Ward, he's a decent runner, but he's not getting the carries in Tampa Bay. Cadillac Williams is the man. You know, Fargus had a good week, but I wouldn't press my luck with him having two good performances 2 weeks in a row. I'm going to go with Berrien. He's in the best offense, and I think he has the biggest upside and the best chance to score.
Would you go Fargus over Ward, Ralph?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
Okay. Derek Ward or Hines Ward?
Derek Ward.
All right.
Is it Derek Ward, right?
Yeah, that's a no-brainer, man.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer, yeah.
Okay, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio is heating up, baby. We're on the airwaves. We got 35 minutes of nonstop action. Can't stop, won't stop. This is how we do it each and every Sunday, breaking it down for the people now. Rick Servitella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, the Triple R Connection. And we're going to do it now like this. New York Jets, 3-3, got off to a 3-0 start. Now 0-3 in their last three games. One sack in their last three games, and a lot of broken furniture in Ralph's apartment. Take it away.
Dance.
Yes, renovations are in order. I'm going to go with the Jets defense as one of my studs here. Yeah, I know without Chris Jenkins in the lineup, he's out for the year. The Jets are going to have trouble stopping the run going forward, but not this week, not versus a one-dimensional Oakland attack. Oakland's offensive line is weak, and the Jets linebackers should be able to swarm Oakland's running backs and maybe even force some turnovers. The fact that Oakland's missing D-Mac, Darren McFadden, the one back who can burn defenses to the outside, I think helps Gangrene's defensive unit. So take them as one of your studs. And then we mentioned them before. Thomas Jones is another 24-carat stud this week. It's a mystery why Philadelphia didn't run the ball more last week versus Oakland. The Raiders are giving up the fourth most fantasy points to running backs.
I think Jones
should be able to prosper with his one cut and go slashing style. He's a decisive runner who'll take advantage of his openings and take it to the house. The dud here, I'm sorry, you know, everybody's been talking about Justin Fargus a lot. I don't like Fargus. I don't like Michael Bush. I don't like either one of those Raider running backs. Look, Fargus will only have success if Oakland keeps it close, which I don't see happening this week. The Raiders don't have the passing game to support the running game to open things up for Fargus or for Michael Bush, so I would keep both those guys on the bench ideally. And the sleepers here, look, you have to keep in mind here that the Jets are going to be banged up. Kotchery's not going to play, and Brad Smith is not playing. And on top of that, Braylon Edwards will have to contend with one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL in Nnamdi Asamoah, which means that a couple of sleepers are going to emerge in this Jets offense, and that means Leon Washington, I think, is going to get a lot of play this week, as well as David Clowney, who starts this week. He's a deep threat. He doesn't need a lot of catches to put up yards, so look out for Leon Washington and David Clowney. Obviously, I love the Jets here, 27-6.
15 yards a catch. Justin Fargus against this Jets defense, Ralph. Give me a little projection here. How many yards? Does he get the pay dirt, yes or no? Tell me about
Justin
it.
Fargus? No. I don't see him hitting pay dirt in this game. I see Oakland putting up about two field goals, no touchdowns. I don't like that offense. I thought Jamarcus Russell got lucky on a couple of occasions last week. I don't see it happening 2 weeks in a row.
Okay, there you have it. Ross, back over to the chat room. Jermichael Finley or Brent Seelig, the celery man this week?
Wow. You know what? I like the way Finley's been playing lately. I'll go with him.
Okay, Ralph, Austin Colley or Antonio Bryant?
I'm going to go with Austin Colley. You know, Anthony Gonzalez isn't back yet, so Austin Colley is going to get a lot of play. And Manning just, he's developed a good relationship, a good rapport with Austin Colley. I think Colley's going to see a lot of throws go his way this week.
And I like what you said. There are going to be a lot of points on the board for the Colts, so I'm going to go with Colley there. Ross, Hines Ward or Wes Welker this week?
Wow. I wonder who the third guy, who the other receiver is, unless it's Moss or Andre Johnson or Reggie Wayne. I'd go with Welker, but it's
really?
Close. It's close.
Wow.
I would go with Welker myself. I like him to have a big week this week.
I'm going to go with Ward. He's just been too consistent. He's been making big plays week after week.
Yeah, I mean,
the question,
you know,
for the fellas here, Tashard Choice going up against Atlanta. We know that's a running back by committee situation. We're going to discuss that in a second here. Pierre Thomas against the strong Dolphins run defense. I'm going to toss this one over to Ralph first. Tashard Choice or Pierre Thomas?
I'm going to go with Tashard Choice. I like that matchup better versus Atlanta. I know that Atlanta's defense stepped up versus Chicago last week, but they're kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde type of defensive unit. I think the fact that Dallas is well-rested coming off of their bye week, I think their big, massive offensive line is going to create some spaces for Tashard Choice. I think he scores in this one, and I like him a little bit better than Pierre Thomas this week.
Ross, Kurt Warner or Matt Ryan this week? Warner faces the Giants. Ryan faces the Cowboys. Both the Giants and the Cowboys have both had issues in the secondary this season. Who do you like there?
I'm going to go with Matty Ice in this one. I don't trust Kurt Warner in the Meadowlands. I mean, it's really that simple to me. I don't think he's going to have one of his 22 for 24 games at night in the Meadowlands with a swirling wind, little cold. I mean, it's too recent watching Kurt Warner play in the Meadowlands as a Giant for me, and I like Matt Ryan today, and I think that game's got an awful lot of points in it. I don't think the Giant game's going to be as high scoring as people think.
I agree, and if you remember Kurt Warner's tenure in the Giants, that was the only time in his career where he didn't really light it up, and he did struggle with those swirling winds in the Meadowlands.
Everyone does, including the Sanchez, baby.
Yeah, and normally coming off the bye week, I would like Kurt Warner, but not in the Meadowlands. Michael Bush, what's he going to do? He's going to do a whole lot of nothing. Put him on your bench. Michael Crabtree or Lee Evans? We mentioned before Crabtree will start, but he will only play 15 to 25 snaps this week. So I'm going to go Lee Evans there. Put Michael Crabtree on the back burner.
I like Crabtree's upside in that one. I think he's got a chance to do something. I don't think Evans has a chance to do anything.
So you would play Crabtree?
I would play Crabtree over Lee Evans. That's right.
Yeah, when your quarterback is Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, there's absolutely no upside there. I would go with Crabtree myself.
Wow. Okay. There you have it. The experts know better than I do. Let's go, guys, to Glenn Coffey. Is he relevant the next 2 weeks? Both Coffey and LeSean McCoy are available. Needs a bye week guy for next week. Should he drop Buckhalter for any of these guys? No way.
No, Buckhalter is playing very well. And as far as the San Francisco 49ers are concerned, I would tell you, keep an eye on Michael Robinson, because if Frank Gore goes down again, it might actually be Michael Robinson who takes over the lead running back role. Whispers are coming out of San Francisco that, you know, the coaching staff is not really impressed with Coffey. He looked a lot better in the preseason than he has in the regular season, has looked confused out there at times. So do not drop Carrell Buckhalter.
Yeah, one of the problems that I saw with Coffey is, and the coach, this will drive coaches nuts, is his blocking has been quite suspect.
Well, I think it's going to continue to be a timeshare in Denver. I think Moreno will be the feature guy, but I think Buckhalter will continue to be in the mix as long as he's healthy.
I think McCoy's in the mix in Philly, guys. Don't sell him short.
I got to see it to believe it.
Mr. Westbrook always gets hurt. Isn't high on McCoy, huh?
You know, I'm just that whole who's the guy? Lorenzo Booker just really,
yeah.
You know, I heard that for so long, it just scarred me for life.
Andy Reid. Just unbelievable.
Need two of these guys, DeSean Jackson, Massaquoi, Shianko, or Johnny Knox. Let's take the tight end out of it. Pick two, DeSean Jackson, Muhammad Massaquoi, Johnny Knox, Ralph.
I'm going to go with DeSean Jackson, and I'm going to go with Johnny Knox. I'm sorry, I don't like that Cleveland offense at all. I'm not going to risk my getting a win on Mr. Derek Anderson throwing the football. I know Muhammad Masakai has shown a lot of promise, but I like those other two guys a lot better, both Jackson and
Knox. I agree with you.
It's a yeah.
How about Shianko over Kevin Walter? Do you guys like that?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, there you have it. Oh, boy. All right, let's get back over to our rundown here. And we're coming up on Cincinnati hosting the Bears. Then we're going to go Atlanta, Dallas, and then New Orleans, Miami. And then we'll get to the Sunday night and the Monday night games. Let's start it off with the drudgery match, Cedric Benson. A lot of bad blood between Cedric Benson and the Bears. The Bears are 3-2, traveling to Cincinnati, 4-2. Why don't you take it away, Rostradamus?
Yeah, I think underrated game. I think this is going to be a pretty good game, the Cedric Benson revenge game. I think he does all right today, but, you know, if you want to say, oh, you know, he's going to be extra motivated to do well against this former team, well, how psyched do you think the Bears are to see this guy who was an absolute bum on their team now helping another team? I think the Bears are just as motivated to stop him as he is to gain yards against them. Look, the pass defense at Cincinnati is not that strong. I think Jay Cutler has a pretty productive day. And what we're seeing now is what some of us thought in the beginning of the season, and that's that Matt Forte is not fast enough and he's not strong enough to compensate for a mediocre offensive line. That's what's going on with him this year. Look, Greg Olsen finally being utilized in the offense, and I think that he's going to have a very productive day today. I like Greg Olsen a lot today. To me, the duds in this game, two receivers from each team, guys. Andre Caldwell and Lavernius Coles, and I do not like Devin Hester or Johnny Knox with that, with those deep coverage brackets that Cincinnati puts on. And because of that, my sleeper in this game, and I think the most productive out of the Bears receivers, is going to be Earl the Twirl Bennett. I think he's going to have a lot of targets underneath after Knox and Hester clear it out and take it deep. I think Cutler's going to be happy to settle for Olsen, happy to settle for Bennett. And I like the Bears in this game in a squeaker, 24-23.
Okay, there you have it. I think this is going to be a squeaker. I think it's going to come down to whoever has the ball last. So it's going to be interesting to watch. This just in, Bears defensive tackle Tommy Harris out.
Oof.
Versus the Bengals.
That hurts.
Yeah, but
so
you know what? Harris hasn't been playing well this year anyway, so I don't think it's a huge loss.
No, it's not. It's not a big loss.
Good news for Cedric Benson, that's for
yes.
sure. If you're a Bears fan, it'll be interesting to see the rookie, Jerron Gilbert, if he gets tossed into the mix, or Gaines Adams, who did not play last week. We'll see if he's activated this week to give some help up front on that Bears defensive line, something worth monitoring. Leon Washington, Mike Bell, or Kevin Walter, not a PPR, non-PPR. Which one do you like there, Ralph? Leon Washington, Mike Bell, or Kevin Walter?
Mike Bell. I like Leon Washington this week. I know he's been underutilized so far this season. However, with those injuries that the Jets have at the wide receiver position and the fact that, you know, Sanchez hasn't been playing all that well lately, I think he's going to go to his running back a lot on a lot of short routes. I see Leon Washington getting a lot of touches, and he's going up against the Raiders, so I think the potential is there for him to make some big plays.
I'll take him, too. I like Washington.
Okay, there you have it. Moving right along, we're going to go over to the Atlanta Falcons at the Dallas Cowboys. And before we do, Ralph, everybody wants to know about the Dallas Cowboys running back by committee situation. Felix Jones returns. Marion Barber's been nicked up all season. And Tashard Choice has been the most dependable. So I'm going to ask both of you for your opinion on this. We'll start with Ralph first. What's your take on the Dallas Cowboys running back by committee situation? Who is 1A, 1B, 1C, however you want to label them, not just for today but for the rest of the season? How are you playing it?
Well, you know, first of all, this is a fluid situation, so it could change from one week to the next. But I think right now, as things currently stand, I think Marion Barber and Tashard Choice are going to split the carries. Felix Jones is going to be that third wheel there. I don't think he's going to be used a lot initially, especially this week. Coming off that knee injury, he's still having pain from that PCL injury that he suffered a few weeks ago. I see a running back by committee there situation with both Choice and Barber splitting the carries in Dallas right now.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Rev, and I think if Dallas had any sense at all, which no one really has accused them of, I think they'd be splitting Felix Jones out, using him with Percy Harvin.
I agree.
Okay, well, let's talk about some stud duds and sleepers with this Falcons-Cowboys matchup. Both of them need a win to stay in the thick of things in the NFC playoff matchup, and the good Reverend Ralph Mancini is going to break it down for the people, stud duds and sleeper style.
Well, I like Roddy White in this game. I know he's going to be locked up with Terrence Newman, but Dallas has trouble with providing over-the-top help in the secondary. In addition, Dallas gives up 174 yards per game to wide receivers, so I'm going to look for White to put up about 100 yards and a touchdown in this game. I also like Jason Witten. The Falcons are weak versus tight ends. They're giving up the third most points at that position over the past 3 weeks. And on top of that, I think Witten is going to be helped by the emergence of Miles Austin. That's going to open things up for Mr. Witten. I see a good ball game on tap for him as well. The dud here, and we mentioned him before, Felix Jones. Yes, he will play. He's still having pain. He's going to have a knee brace on. He's going to be very limited. The other dud here is Martellus Bennett. In 5 games, Bennett has 4 receptions for 40 yards. That's not enough. I mean, that's not fantasy. Those are not fantasy numbers. He's a great receiver with a lot of upside. Maybe someday he could turn into a superstar, a stud, but not this year. It's not happening right now for him. The sleeper here is Deshaun Choice. The Falcons have been a Jekyll and Hyde defense versus the run. I think a massive and well-rested Dallas offensive line will be able to create holes for Choice versus an undersized defensive line. Choice is a hard runner. He doesn't leave any yards on the field. This is going to be a very tight ball game. I think Dallas wins this game in the last minute by a field goal. Dallas 24, Atlanta 21.
Interesting game to watch today. Interesting also that you mentioned Martellus Bennett, someone who the Cowboys were offered a very high pick for at the trade deadline. I believe it was a second-round pick. I don't know which team, but the Cowboys were offered a trade for Martellus Bennett and
rejected
him.
That was Cincinnati that made the offer.
Okay, interesting. So Dallas does believe in Marty B. Guys, going back over to the chat room, this is Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. You know how we do it each and every Sunday morning, 8:30 to 10 a.m. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, the Triple R Connection here. Rashard Mendenhall or Austin Collie, Ross, as a flex?
I'm going with Mendenhall.
I'm going to go Mendenhall as well. As Taz said in the chat room, we've got to take the touches. Let me ask you this, Ross. Would you start Collie over either Austin or Nix?
Wow. You know, I'd probably start him over Nix. I might even start him over Austin, but not definitely. I definitely start him over Nix.
I would start him over Nix, not Austin. And this week, Collie has a great matchup. Your thoughts on that, Ralph?
Yeah, I agree. I like Collie's matchup this week. I wouldn't take him over Miles Austin. But, yeah, I think Collie has a nice matchup.
Okay, and one last one. I'll toss it over to Ross. Andre Bubba Caldwell or Michael Crabtree this week? Who do you like?
Wow. I think I'll go with Caldwell in that one.
You know, Andre Caldwell, there's a player who we liked coming out of the draft, and I'm not really sure what he's done this week, but he's gotten a lot of mention today, and I'm just trying to dig up his stats here. I'm just curious to see what he's done this season because
he's been playing very well. I mean, you know, Lavernius Coles is on his last legs, and Chris Henry's been a non-factor up until now. You know, Caldwell has been a guy that Carson Palmer has been able to rely on for the most part.
Hey, he's had 57 yards. That's the most he's had.
Well, he's got 24 catches, 238 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the year. And Coles has 14 catches for 118. So it looks like Andre Caldwell there emerging as the number 2 wide receiver.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Chris Henry, who everybody was touting before the season, is once again the forgotten man in Cincinnati. 15 minutes to go on the big show, and we're going to get into our next matchup, which is the New Orleans Saints traveling to Miami, where the Chad Henne era has begun. And something to keep an eye on for you players there that get points for return games and are in deep leagues. Ted Ginn Jr. Taking it to the team, told the Dolphins he wants a chance to compete for the kick return responsibility. So him and Corey Sheets out of Purdue have been splitting duties in practice this week. It remains to be seen who will actually get the responsibilities. But if Ted Ginn is returning kicks, it always antes up his fantasy value, especially if you get points for that. But the Saints, 5-0, have yet to be beaten. They travel into Miami, 2-3, who pulled off the stunner a couple weeks ago on Monday Night Football against the Jets. Dolphins coming off the bye week. Break it down for the people, Ross.
Wow. Saints. I mean, really, what can you say about what they did to my Giants last week? They just absolutely steamrolled them. They could have put up a 60 spot if they wanted to. But I have a feeling this week's going to be a little bit different. I mean, obviously, Breeze, Colston. New Orleans D, to me, is being way overhyped, but we can get to that at another time if we have time. And I think Ronnie Brown is going to prove it today. I'm sold on that. Look, you think Miami didn't spend that off week coming up with some new mumbo-jumbo for the Wildcat? You know they did. This is an interesting stat, guys. The longest carry that New Orleans has given up on the ground this year is 18 yards. To me, that's pretty impressive through six weeks of the season. But that's going to change today. I think Miami's going to be able to run the ball pretty well today, and I like Ronnie Brown today. I think the dud in this one is Devery Henderson. And until Lance Moore gets banged up again, whenever that happens, I think that he's not a play. I think Lance Moore is finally healthy, and there's just not enough room for Devery Henderson to be a reliable performer week after week. You know, I said it before, I don't think the Saints' defense should be played today. I'm not that impressed. I just think just because you blitz more and your offense scores a lot of points, that doesn't mean your defense is necessarily a top five unit. So I'm not really buying into that New Orleans defense quite yet. And Mr. Greg Williams, who's getting all the love this year. The sleeper in this one, we talked about him a little bit before. I think obviously Miami's going to try to shorten the game by running the ball all day. And to me, that means that Ricky Williams is worth a bye week start this week. And I think he'll do something around what he did against Buffalo, 16 totes for 85 yards, maybe find the end zone. I think he could do a lot worse with a bye week fill-in. I think the Saints win this game, but I think it's lower scoring and closer to people think. I'll take New Orleans 27-23.
Okay, closer than some people might think, guys. Chad Henne, Aaron, off to a good start. 2 starts, 2 wins, 2 weeks to prepare for this matchup. Ralph, what's the chances Henne pulls off the upset here, and do you like his progress so far?
I do like his progress. I'm not crazy about this matchup, though. But, you know, if Henny's on your team, obviously I think there are going to be opportunities for you to start him later on going forward. But I'm not in love with this matchup versus New Orleans.
Should be interesting to see. You know, the last couple years, young quarterbacks, you've seen them thrown directly into the fire, especially the last 2 years. This year you saw it with Sanchez and Stafford. Last year you saw it with Flacco and Ryan. The Dolphins took a little bit of a different approach with Henne, more of the Steve McNair, you know, watch from the sidelines for a couple seasons, and it's proven to pay dividends. So when you talk about grooming a quarterback, and what philosophy and what method is better, I think it's a case-by-case situation. In the case of Henne, I think it was good for him to kind of, you know, get some mentoring from Chad Pennington and then eventually take over that way. But, you know, that's a debate that we will discuss more as we get closer to the NFL draft. And there's, you know, as many as 5 or 6 quarterbacks could actually be selected in the first round this year. We'll talk about that more. But in the meantime, Ross, your G-men, as you mentioned, coming off their first loss of the year, are hosting the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday Night Football in America. And this is going to be a slobber knocker. So why don't you break it down for the people's dud duds and sleeper style? Baby.
Agreed. You know, tough for those who have Anquan Boldin. You have to wait until the night. Knowing him, he's a tough guy. I could pretty much say right now that he's going to play tonight. How much he plays and how effective he is another story. Oh, brother, look, this is another tough one for the Giants. I like Eli Manning and Steve Smith in this game. I think the Giants rebound this week, led by those two. Arizona's pass defense is horrible. And, you know, you want to say chicken or the egg. Is their run defense good because people can pass on them? Or is their pass defense, you know, terrible because people can't run on them? Make your own choice there. But I think the Giants are going to get it done in the air today. I think Warner and Larry Fitzgerald are going to have a good game as well, especially if Boldin is hurt. I just think the Giants have a little too much at home at night in these elements to fall to Arizona tonight. I think the duds in this game, I don't like any of the running backs in this game. Arizona's especially, they're last in the league in rushing. I'm sick of hearing about Beanie Wells. I'm sick of hearing about Tim Hightower. They equal nothing to me. What are they averaging? Less than 3 yards a carry. Warner knows, Arizona knows how they make their living, and that's through the air. Eventually, after they get stuffed a few times, they quickly abandon the run. They're going to pass all night. There's no room for any of the Arizona running backs. And I wouldn't expect much from Brandon Jacobs or Ahmad Bradshaw either. I think this is an Eli Manning game, guys. The sleeper in this one, we touched on him before, and I've always been a fan. Underrated Steve Breston. He had 7 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown last week. I think he can actually do more than that this week. As teams continue to exploit the weak secondary, especially at the safety position from the Giants. I love Breston. He rarely disappoints whenever he plays. He plays banged up. He produces, made a heck of a touchdown catch last week. I think Mario Manningham and Hakeem Nicks are also worth bye week starts against that Arizona pass defense. But really, to me, it's Eli Manning and Steve Smith for the Giants and Fitzgerald and obviously Kurt Warner. And he's throwing a little Steve Breston for the Arizona Cardinals. I think the Giants win this game 27-20.
Okay, there you have it. And that leads us into our last matchup of the week, which is the Philadelphia Eagles, 3-2, heading into Washington to take on the Redskins, 2-4, where Jim Zorn is fighting for his life, where his seat is so hot that his bun buns are red hot, burning. And in fact, Joe Theismann was on the NFL Network this morning criticizing Jim Zorn and piling on and piling on and piling on. And we've talked about the Redskins head coach situation. Is Jim Zorn going to make it out alive? We shall see. Sherm Lewis now calling the plays. We shall see.
Oh,
Jason Campbell to remain as starting quarterback. We shall see. Guys, the only good news I can tell you about the Redskins this week is Clinton Portis returned to practice. He will start Monday night. To break it down, the rest of this matchup is going to be the Reverend Ralph Mancini. Take it away.
Well, very quickly, let me say, everybody's pointing their fingers at poor Jim Zorn. And by the way, he hasn't done a good job at all. But nobody's pointing their fingers at Vinny Serrato. He's the architect of this mess. So I think he needs to share in that blame. As far as this matchup is concerned, listen, I like Donovan McNabb to bounce back in this matchup. You know, don't bore me with how strong the Redskins' secondary is. I mean, who have the Redskins faced? Recently, they went up against Matt Cassel, Jake Delhomme, and Josh Johnson. You know, so, and the other thing about McNabb is over his past 4 games versus the Redskins, McNabb has produced 917 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. Donovan McNabb will bounce back, and if he doesn't, his job will be on the line, I think. The other guy that I like in this matchup is DeSean Jackson. McNabb looked for him all game long last week with 12 targets. Washington's pass rush isn't very strong, which will allow DeSean Jackson to get open deep. The dud here is, yeah, my favorite whipping boy, Santana Moss. Take out Moss's 10 catch for 178 yards a few weeks ago versus Detroit, and he's only averaging 40 yards per game. On top of that, his offensive line cannot block anyone, which means that his quarterback, Jason Campbell, won't have enough time to find them deep. The sleeper here is Jeremy Maclin, the rookie. He's getting the looks, and he nearly came up with a 25-yard and a 65-yard touchdown last week versus the Raiders. I think this week he connects on a big play, maybe even two big plays with Donovan McNabb. I like Philly to roll over the Washington Redskins 38-17.
Fantasy Football Insiders Radio back at it again next Monday, 8:30 to 10. This is how we do it each and every week on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Check them out, www.fsc.fm. Coming up at 10, Tony Sincotta is going to take it away. I am Rick Saratella for Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. We'll catch you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Y'all ready for this?
We're about to say.